This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Alyssa Block. Bellevue Hospital in New York City, the oldest public hospital in the United States, is full of stories.
How old are you now?
I'm 54.
54.
Okay. I got a 41-year-old son.
A 41-year-old son?
Yeah, we're 12 years apart.
Wow.
I was 12.
That's very young to be a father.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Evidently.
Yes.
Dr. Danielle Ofri is an attending physician at Bellevue in internal medicine. We decided to spend a day with her recently to get a sense of one doctor's world through her relationships with her patients. On the hospital wards on this day, there's a man with neurosyphilis, a woman who needs a lung biopsy, a man with end-stage kidney disease.
Did he get dialyzed today?
Yeah, he's getting dialyzed this afternoon. His ultrasound showed renal disease, kidneys.
Dr. Ofri did her medical training here, and she's written about some of her experiences in a new book called Singular Intimacies, Becoming a Doctor at Bellevue. It's a collection of essays about learning to listen to the narrative of her patients. She writes about the weight of balancing so many patients' stories.
At the end of a long day, your whole body aches. I think part of that physical ache is from holding all those stories, because patients are entrusting you with their stories, their pain, their life. For a lot of our patients, they have no one else.
Dr. Ofri tries to keep an ear tuned to the stories behind the medical complaints that bring patients to Bellevue.
Often, it's the at-the-doorknob diagnosis. The patient is walking out the door, their hand on the doorknob, and will say, by the way, and that's when the real stuff comes out. I had one patient who had all kinds of pains in strange places, none of which made sense physiologically, and every test was normal. People kept saying, it's all in your head, it's all in your head. And as she was leaving, hand on the doorknob, she said, do you think it might be because all the spots I have pain is where my boyfriend shot me with a dart gun?
Did doctors talk about that doorknob moment?
Yes, I think we know about that. It happens a lot. The most important thing comes as they're walking out, or in the corner of their mouth or the side of a conversation, a little bit comes out, and that's the key. And the thing is, you have to be prepared to hear it and to catch it.
We followed Dr. Ofri as she went on rounds.
Like a left here.
She's 37. She moves fast, her curly, waist-length hair streaming behind her as she hustles through the wards.
I'm Dr. Ofri. I'm the attending, and I supervise the doctors taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these patients she's meeting for the first time. Others have been here for weeks or even months, like Genevieve Tirado. She's being treated for vasculitis. She has skin ulcers all over. One toe has been amputated. The grown woman is clutching a stuffed bear. She doesn't look well.
I can't even remember when you first came in.
March.
March? It's been a long time. I know. We want you to get home.
I want to get home, too.
I know. Who lives with you at home?
My husband.
Your husband? How's he doing? I don't think I've seen him here.
No, he's not doing good.
Yeah.
When Ms. Tirado starts crying, Dr. Ofri immediately reaches out and cups her patient's hand in her own, giving a gentle massage, never mind the scabby ulcers and bruises and rash. Later, she says, unless they're dripping blood, I'll hold their hand. Often, you'll notice that she sits next to a patient at eye level, so she's not hovering above, looking down as she talks. She may share a laugh or rub a shoulder, and she'll spend as much time listening as she can without getting woefully behind schedule.
Good. How's your grandmother doing?
I spoke to my neighbor. My neighbor told me she's been asking for me. She misses.
Does she have a telephone?
Actually, no, she doesn't have a telephone over there.
Answers to questions about family or jobs may not help with a medical diagnosis, but patients want to talk, Dr. Ofri believes. Conversations like these can help gain patients' trust, and they help the doctor, too.
Going from the patient on the paper to the patient as a whole, and seeing them come from one dimension to two to three dimensions. One of my interns said, when a patient got dressed to leave, they looked so different. That once they're in clothes, they look so healthy. And when they're in styrofoam slippers with those horrible gowns that fall open in the back, they look so sick. And I think we forget to envision them outside of the hospital, in a life, paying taxes, riding the subway, combing their hair. And so, to let patients talk about their life outside, they come to life more.
I'm trying to have a call. Later, Dr. Ofri heads for a conversation she's been dreading.
Sí. ¿Y es la razón que necesita tomar la pastilla Coumadin?
Julia Balcarcel has a seriously enlarged heart, and it's not pumping well. She needs a transplant. But like many of the patients at Bellevue, she's in this country illegally, so a transplant is exceedingly unlikely. Dr. Ofri tries to explain.
Well, un transplant, un otro corazón nuevo, quizás es una posibilidad, pero si no está un citizen de los Estados Unidos, no está posible.
It's hard enough in English, harder still in a foreign tongue.
¿Otra pregunta es algo?
No.
Y que tenga buena suerte.
Muchas gracias.
Okay, que te vaya con Dios.
Okay, muchas
gracias. Okay, hasta y gracias.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Down the hall, a happier outcome, a 63-year-old man who came in with pneumonia.
You've smoked before?
What, cigarettes?
Yeah.
That's the only habit I have, and I've been making up my mind to that pack I got in there, give it to the next guy I see outside, or throw it away.
Congratulations. Yeah. That is the best thing you can do.
Dr. Ofri takes a listen to his lungs.
Can you give me a deep breath? Like night and day. When you first came in, I couldn't hear a thing on that side. It was rock solid. Then it got all crackly. Now it's perfectly clear. So I'm going to talk with the team. I think you should be able to go home today.
Home. You'll hear the staff refer to some Bellevue patients as being from home, meaning they have a home to go back to, as if that's an unusual thing. There are a number of homeless patients here, also those in limbo between shelters and rehab and nursing homes.
No.
Once a day, Dr. Ofri sits down with nursing staff and social workers to try to figure out discharge planning for the patients in the wards, when they'll leave, and where they'll go. This can be complicated, as it is with one patient who's not able to care for herself, but wants to go home, and not back to a long-term rehab center.
She doesn't want to go back.
But then she goes home with nothing.
But if that's her choice, I mean, what can we do? She's pleading with us.
The woman can't even get out of bed.
I mean, she looks at me with tears in her eyes and says, you know, please, you know, send me home. Don't make me suffer more. I mean,
you know, I think it also is she lost 2 children within the past couple of years during Christmas. Uh-huh. So it's like all these things are incorporated, you know, in her emotions and stuff. And she wants to go home, I guess, to see her. Right. One of her other sons, so...
I think we maybe need an administrator to come talk to her, because right now she sees the doctors as the evil people, because we're the ones who keep saying, we can't send you home, and she thinks we're holding her here a prisoner.
Somebody has to be involved.
Deborah, you have a call on 3014, or Detra, you have a call on 3014.
A good part of Dr. Ofri's day is spent overseeing the work of new doctors, interns, and residents. Bellevue is a teaching hospital.
What's his EF?
Pretty low. Severe.
Severe. Okay. So he's here to have a CHF.
See, he's diuresing right now. Okay. Tomorrow is his beta blockers.
Was he cath for this?
He was not cath.
The days are filled with jargon like this, medical shorthand. But Dr. Ofri also tries to inject another kind of language into the training, poetry. She carves out 5 minutes or so each day to gather with her interns and read a poem. She calls it her literary rounds.
So this poem is by John Stone, who is a cardiologist at Emory who also writes poetry.
The poem is called Gaudiamus Igitur, and it's all about becoming a doctor.
For you will look smart and feel ignorant, and the patient will not know which day it is for you. For you will pretend to be smart out of ignorance.
The interns follow along, some scan ahead, restless.
For you may need to strain to hear the voice of the patient in the thin reed of his crying. For you will learn to see most acutely out of the corner of your eye, to hear best with your inner ear. For there are late signs and early signs. For the patient's story will come to you like hunger, like thirst.
Heads nod, a beeper goes off.
For this is the day of joy, for this is the morning to rejoice, for this is the beginning, therefore let us rejoice. Gaudiamus Igitur. What a great poem. I just love that. I mean, there's so many metaphors to me. I don't know if any of them caught out in your minds that stuck out.
Most definitely.
For you will look smart and feel ignorant, and the patient will not know which day it is for you. And how often do we slide by the seat of our pants and fake it a little bit? Well, one of my, you know, bones of contention is by the time you finish medical school and residency, you can't put a sentence together, you know, with a noun, adjective, and a verb. So I feel like we destroy any little bit of culture that you've had.
I think we could still write sentences. Have you read your notes lately?
Well, I think my notes are, that's another story. But
anyway, just some food for thought. So I'm going to let you get to work because I don't want to hold up the efficient hospital machine. All right, and
that's
we will.
What we are.
Back in her office, Dr. Ofri says it's important for that efficient hospital machine to pause for a bit, though the interns may disagree.
I ask them to humor me, and they're usually pretty good about it, but some hate it.
And what are you hoping they get from that 5 minutes of poetry?
A chance to let the other part of their brain flower a little bit, to stop, slow down, as I think we are so fast. We walk fast, we talk fast, we think fast, we write fast. And I think poetry and literature is a chance to stop for a minute and take a breath. To think about the metaphor in a poem is to really stop and look beneath the surface and see what else could lie there, what's under the surface. So I'm hoping just the experience of doing that is helpful, and also to help train their ear to listen more carefully and listen for the metaphors in what patients talk about.
Of the stories that you've heard today, there are a number of sad ones. There's a woman who needs a new heart, probably won't get one. A man who had his first child when he was 12. You've talked about the burden of bearing those stories. When you go home tonight at the end of a long day, what happens with those stories?
Well, immediately my children, flush them away. But when they go to sleep and then I go to sleep and there's that quiet time at night, then they come back and they just, it's like the film is re-rolling a little bit, and I think a little bit more about them, and I wonder, is there more we could do to help them? Are there more questions I should have asked? And just it makes me curious about them. So when I go back the next day, I'm more connected to them. And it stays with me.
It does stay with you.
It definitely does. And I feel like I've connected. And I think a connection has healing power. And I think most of the patients, I don't know if you noticed, but they brighten when they talk about themselves. And I think they actually feel better.
Dr. Danielle Ofri. Her new book is called Singular Intimacies, Becoming a Doctor at Bellevue.
Anything else we've forgotten? Okay, no. So we'll talk with psychiatry today.
Okay.
And maybe we'll be able to let you go home, but I'd like to get their opinion.
Okay.
Okay?
That's fine.
All right.
You're the boss.
Well, you're the boss. I mean,
no, you're the boss, you're because you studied medicine. I didn't.
I know, but you know your body better than I do. So
okay.
Let's have them come today. And we'll talk in the afternoon.
See you later, Idalia.
For more about Bellevue, about Dr. Ofri, and about her book, you can go to npr.org.